fundamental to any philosophy of education is how you see the child. And as in so many things, there's a possibility to err on the left and err on the right. The two common errors today are, one, to see the child as a product, that the child is somehow wax to be molded, that their mind is a blank slate to be written upon, and that if we just tweak our system and just get it right, then we can put the child through the factory and get the result we want. Now, the child is really very passive in this process. At best, we just ask for the child to go along with it. The error on the other side is to not see the child as a product, not see them as a thing, but to see them as almost a demigod, that the child is, somehow has within him or her everything that he or she needs, has all the capacity, all the powers that he or she will need, all the information he or she will need, all the intrinsic ability that he or she will need to become whatever it is they want, he or she wants to become. Now, Charlotte Mason, and we would certainly hold the idea that children have vast capacities, but there's a difference between having an innate capacity and having all that I need within me. And to see a child as a person is to see great capacity, but as a human person also needing others. That a child, to grow well, to grow into who he or she was created to be, the child must have others in his or her life who can inform his ignorance and support her weakness, that both of these have to be cared for. So not a thing to be molded, nor a demigod to be let loose on his or her own, but a person to be loved, informed, instructed, and supported in growth. All education is self-education. All children have to do their own mind work. We can't do it for them. But we can put them in the way of knowledge. We can provide them the kinds of space and kinds of opportunities. We can model for them what good learning and good living is all about. So if we think of a child as a person and not a product, then they are not something to be manipulated, something to be moved through a system. They're an individual to be cherished first, cultivated second. And I like the word cultivated. Charlotte Mason, actually, when she talks about education and what is it we're doing when we educate, she uses the word growing up, that we're not just trying to mold, we're trying to grow them up. And cultivated is a word that captures some of that. I mean, if you look up the definition of the word cultivated, you see it sometimes it means to turn over the soil, to sow seed, so that the plants can grow. To cultivate a child is to facilitate their growth. Now notice, they're the ones that have to do the growing. We can't go make it happen for them. But what we can do is provide optimum soil, good air and water. Children as persons actually have a relationship with knowledge. They question, they explore, they naturally want to build knowledge upon knowledge and come to a sense of a relationship with a person or with a thing. Hence again, Charlotte Mason's phrase, education is the science of relations. In seeking to build that relation, you say, well, how does that happen? Fundamental is a mind-to-mind meeting. That actually, just as a child looks up into his mother's face in an attempt to begin to know her and to know himself, and over the first couple of years of life, to begin to distinguish between the two so that I know who I am and I know who you are and it's good for the two of us to be together, that somehow mind is always seeking relationship. Relationship is at the core of the universe. From Christian theology, the relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. We as persons are created for relationship. That's one of the fundamental things about us. And all of our coming to know is a relational knowing. Relational knowing occurs when we have these mind-to-mind meetings. So it's a very, very different experience. If I read, say, Dickens' book, Great Expectations, to scan for data that I can then spit back on a test, versus I read Great Expectations to come to some sort of an insight through these characters into Dickens' mind and Dickens' understanding of the human condition. In reading Great Expectations, I develop a relationship with the characters, vicariously a relationship with Dickens himself, and I learn something about the human condition. That's why we have books we love. We have books we love because we have a relationship with them, not simply because we can name all of the primary characters and describe the flow of the plot. Well, this kind of mind-to-mind meeting, whether it's through a book or through music or through art or through creation itself. In fact, whenever we explore the universe, we're exploring something of the mind of God. And when we study the stars, we're having a mind-to-mind meeting with God, who is the creator of the stars. That's how persons grow. And when we reduce knowledge to mere information, data input to data out, we are depersonalizing our students. We're objectifying them as products to be put through an assembly line. If we can put data in and get the right data out, then we've done our job. That's very depersonalizing.